Penguin Random House Audio presents Bone. This is the author, Yersa Daly Ward. Foreword narrated by Kiese Lehman.
Forward. But that. When I was 11 years old, I was sent to stay with Grandmama in Forest, Mississippi, for the third time because Mama didn't know what to do with me. After church, Grandmama told me to write a response, no doubt Jesus-fearing, to what she called the book of poetry in the Bible. The book of poetry was really the book of Psalms, specifically Psalms chapter 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Dear Grandmama, I wrote, I do not know who you is in this poem, or why they would prepare a table for me if my enemies were watching, when they know good and well that enemies will eat all the food off your table. I do not know why they want my head to be greasy or my cup to overflow on your carpet either, unless they want me to get a whooping. But that last line does sound good compared to the whole poem. Grandmama told me that my breakdown of the book of poetry was shameful, but she encouraged me that day to write my own poems. I filled long yellow legal pads with boastful verses about how my adolescent fatness was the new fineness, and the girls who didn't recognize the new fineness must have been an old kind of mindless. I started trying to write my own version of love poetry to the same imaginary mindless young woman. But 3 years later, I found and obsessed over the brilliance of subject-verb disagreements and the fortunes of fortune cookies. 4 years later, I found and obsessed over the wait-a-minute truths of horoscopes. 6 years later, I found and obsessed over the sustained jerky exploration of the essay. 8 years later, I found and obsessed over the importance of dramatic irony in unreliably narrated short stories. 10 years later, I found and obsessed over the magic of multiple narrative threads in the novel. 30 years later, I was given Bone. But that. Bone works forward and backward, alerting me of yesterday and reminding me of tomorrow. Bone is the fortune, horoscope, essay, short story, and novel we all want to write and all hope to have written to us. At the end of the piece, Poetry, Yersa Daly Ward writes, "The bruising will shatter. The bruising will shatter into black diamond. No one will sit beside you in class. Maybe your life will work. Most likely it won't at first. But that will give you poetry." By the time Bone was given to me, I'd written 10,000 sentences, hundreds of thousands of words, 2 books, 3 unpublished manuscripts. But somehow, some way, I'd forgotten that all along I'd been given poetry 30 years earlier. I'd been given poetry at 12, when Grandmama read my poem about my experiences with sexual abuse. When I got off my knees praying with her that night, I watched the back of Grandmama's 61-year-old body heave in, pause, and heave out. When I finally placed my thumb lightly on the small of Grandmama's back, and she jerked forward and clenched the covers tighter around her body, she gave me poetry. But that. I'd been given poetry at 16 when all I could think to do was steal all the wheat bread, white bread, cinnamon rolls, pitas, and hot dog buns from the bread truck after the Rodney King verdict. But that. I'd been given poetry at 17 when I heard Mama tell someone on the other end of the phone that being alive was harder than she thought. But that. I was given poetry when I starved and run myself from a 319-pound heavy black boy to a 161-pound skinny black man. But that heart and those bones were the same. Poetry was lodged in the memory, and the memory was lodged in the bone. Yersa Daly Ward makes all of us and all of our different sensibilities know that bruises give you poetry, and we give you poetry, and you give we poetry, and loveliness gives you poetry, and first days give you poetry, and warnings give you poetry, and emergencies give you poetry, and bones. Bones have no choice but to give us poetry. The trick is to accept what's offered. Kiese Lehman, June 2017.
Intro. I am the tall, dark stranger those warnings prepared you for. Emergency warning. You were one of those people, it is clear, who needs help. I think you should stop speaking in a low, attractive voice whenever you call. Stop making me think of velvet and fragrant tobacco and that first sip of bourbon. Stop inciting stirrings, movements between us, little rebellions, causing chaos in all of my darker places. The top half of my body is at gross political warfare with the lower. One part of me is roaring and the other wholly disapproves. You are a beautiful danger. Do not force me to open up. Some books are bound tightly for years for reasons. Some books are burned for their own good, love. Stop wearing clothes the way that you do. Don't allow them to cling to your body like that. Do not follow these effortless fashions where everything looks just so, because really, who could resist such a thing? The Lord knows you are beautiful and unfair. I think perhaps you should spare a thought, dear, for those who are sick over you, burning up with you, damp with you. You know what you do. You're a slow fever. Don't be so very engaging, amusing, or witty, or bright. You are causing confusion and jams in tight spaces. You are an accident in waiting. The type of accident with casualties spanning from me to you and here to there. A potential tragedy. A stunning unborn disaster. Should I touch you? I will suffer, and you will suffer, and she will suffer. You are a danger zone. I must not enter. I should not enter. But I might. Liking things. Women who were brought up devout and fearful get stirred like anyone else. Want men, want other women, stink under the arms at the end of the day. Get that all too familiar mix of fear and discontent in the night. Want to do the things that they must not do, those dirty, bloody attractive things. A fine art. You may have learned from your mother or any other hunted woman. Smiling at devils is a useful learned thing. Swallowing discomfort down in spades, holding it tight in your belly. Aging on the inside only, keeping it forever sexy. Bone. From one who says, don't cry, you'll like it after a while. And two who tells you thank you after the fact and can't look at your face. To three who pays for your breakfast and a cab home and your mother's rent. To four who says, but you felt so good, I didn't know how to stop. To five who says giving your body is tough, but something you do very well. To six who smells of tobacco and says, come on, I can feel that you love this. To those who feel bad in the morning. Yes, some feel bad in the morning. And sometimes they tell you you want it. And sometimes you think that you do. Thank heavens you're resetting, ever setting, and resetting. How else do you sew up the tears? How else can the body survive? This was the story. This was the story according to her, but then she could never be trusted. It was safe to say that we had established this by now. We had established this on a very regular basis. On this particular morning, her story and its various possibilities did corroborate with stories she had told before, but everything else was out of sorts. We were drinking whiskey on two stools by the window. It was freezing cold, and the moon was a tiny slip of a thing in the sky. She had woken me up for school far too early or far too late again. Also, we were trying to avoid the view. She was house proud, but not at all garden proud, and the garden was an embarrassment, even at the wrong pitch black time of day. Now she was saying that she met my father somewhere on a large boat. She was working on the Gold Leaf cruise liner in 1984. The way she put it, I could be the child of one of four, possibly five, but the fifth was not likely due to timing and the fact that they were interrupted before the point of no return. However, as she put it, and never tactfully enough, accidents do happen. So here were the four, plus the very slim possibility. One, the captain's mate. Two, the dark-skinned man behind the bar.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?